Reunited and it feels so good. Reunited, we understood.
Back again.
Lisa's back. Tell a friend.
Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Ashley's back.
Dude, we're back. Your mom is back. Season two, better than ever.
We're
buckle
like a
up.
Fungus. We're like a
snacks.
Fungus. You can't get rid of us.
You think you've gotten rid of us and you're on living your life. And then all of a sudden you show back up just at the right time. I don't know how long this episode is going to be. That's my favorite part about podcasts is I don't have any producer in my ear telling me like, rap. We got to go to break. But we have a lot to get to.
Because we're back Lisa and McCaffrey. Better than ever. So let's go.
We're back and better than ever. So in case you are just finding us for the first time, way to go.
Welcome.
Your life is about to get totally transformed. I guess we should do, because again, this is episode one of season two. So there may be some people that have just discovered us. So maybe we should do like a little bit of an intro. Everyone sort of knows who you are, but Lisa McCaffrey, standout soccer player at Stanford, married to my favorite Denver Bronco, Ed McCaffrey.
I thought you were going to say Rod Smith, because he's mine.
Well, shout out, Rod. You guys still live outside Denver. You have four amazing adult sons. Most people are familiar with your second born.
Christian. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that was I remember his name. I remember he was the second one. Yes, I win.
Woo! Yes, Christian McCaffrey. Yes, the mother of Christian McCaffrey. So he's a running back for the Niners, for those of you who maybe don't know. And he's what? He's scored a touchdown in like 800 straight NFL games.
You never
games
count
now?
Your money while you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. We'll talk about it at the end of the season. Let's just get back to winning. That's all I care about. All he cares about. All I care about. Yeah, okay. But he's done well scoring touchdowns in a row, I guess. Honest to God, I try not to listen or think about that because truly all he cares about is winning. And let's go. Eye of the Tiger. We're going to have a
Eye the Tiger, yes. And it's been a little bit, it's hit a rough patch, three losses, which no one was anticipating at the beginning of the year for the Niners.
And that's okay.
Yes. However, I thought he made a very good point, Lisa, the other day when someone was asking him if it sort of felt like the sky was falling. And what did
he said,
say?
No, not at all. When he joined the team last year around this time, they were 3-4. Nobody was panicking. Calm down. Everybody calm down. We got this. We're going to regroup. Yeah. Everyone needs a bye week. This is the perfect time for a bye week, and we're going to come back stronger and better. I truly believe it. I'm manifesting it. It's one thing we do on this show is we are the queens of manifestation. We manifest a lot.
Queens.
Some good. One maybe not so good, but that's okay.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah. but we are very good at it.
We win the rest of the season.
We learned a lot.
Super Bowl and I feel like we've learned a lot, and no more. We're done. They're done with it.
We're done with those. We got three. Three is the lucky number. We put those behind us. And we should also mention you have three other incredible sons who are all doing really well too. Max, your oldest, is killing it in Miami. Yeah. His first year coaching.
All Max as the.
It is. I mean, Mike McDaniel, what? Like, this is Max McCaffrey's
team. They didn't
do
this last year when he wasn't coaching there. It's all Max.
Just saying. Coach Hawk. Pay attention to the details, folks. Sweet baby angel Luke is having a great season.
Luke
at
is
Rice.
Down at playing for the Rice Owls. Yep, and they're doing Owls, well. They're having Owls. A great season so far. Yep, so that's fun to watch.
I was just checking out his stats. He's got 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, same. I honestly don't know. He's had some. What he's I think most famous for this year is getting his helmet ripped off every time he scores. It's insane. Literally, it's happened. I think it's 3 or 4 times. We're laughing. We're like, you need to patent the helmet rip off, and then the pointing in the air, like. That's his signature. That's what he does. It's so bizarre that it's literally, I think it was the fourth time. And it happened again last week. And after the third time, he got a new helmet and it hadn't happened for a game or two. And then it happened again. Somebody ripped his helmet off and boom. So
do you think he could get an NIL deal with like a chin strap company?
Either that. We thought he was like getting like really good haircuts. He thought somebody would like, he's trying to like showcase his hair. And that's why he's getting the helmet. He wants the helmet to be ripped off so he can showcase his good hair, unlike his mom. I don't know. We don't know what's going on, but his helmet's key. It was just so unusual because I don't think you rarely see that ever. It happened to him in particular like 4 times. So anyway, let's keep those.
Well, he's scoring a lot of touchdowns, which is great.
First player in the modern era to play without a helmet. So.
Go Luke. And then Dylan, your third born, he finished up at Northern Colorado last year.
Done.
And And yeah, and he's moving away from football.
Absolutely.
At least for right
he
now.
Is branching out on his own. He doesn't want to be in football, which I respect and we respect. Yep. He's working here in Denver and yeah, he's doing great. He's one of his jobs, got a couple jobs. He's selling cars.
Oh my God. I would buy a car from Dylan McCaffrey.
Come like, out good because they need some business. You're in the market for a Mazda.
Who isn't in a market for a Mazda?
Sweet deal for a Mazda. That was Ed's first car, for the record. It was a Mazda. And that's why I dated him, because he got the car. Oh my gosh, calm down, really.
It wasn't the 7-layer cookie. It was the Mazda.
Definitely the Mazda. That's my priorities, is what car. Yeah, definitely I'm after the car.
Oh, well, I'm glad that the McCaffrey family is doing great. And one last thing before we get into my background. This is kind of the first season in a little while that Ed, that you've had more Ed time.
Yeah,
Ed's not coaching right
now.
There's been
a lot of switching around. Yep.
Which is awesome. And I'm like, I really am. We were talking the other day and I said, how is Ed doing? It probably feels like he has a new lease on life, because I don't think when you're in coaching, and you know this more than me, so tell me if this is true, but I think when these coaches, they get so in it, they like forget that there is another whole world.
Yes. Right.
Outside.
You get so consumed with. You were so consumed every week, everything. Yeah, so you need to get your head. His head is out of the clouds. It's clear as day. He and his buddy, I don't even think I told you this, invented a game, and it's actually really fun. And although
what's it called?
It's called Pepper Pong. So feel free to look it up and buy one. They're not crazy. It's a great Christmas
Pepper
gift.
Pong.
It's literally invented a game called Pepper Pong. They have now they're putting together the national rankings. So it's a cross between pickleball and ping pong. So they patented the fence, like not the fence, the net, sorry. So you can play it anywhere. You literally can play it on the floor. That's the beauty of it. And you just like mark your, you play it on any table, play it on the back of a car, whatever. You just like make the area you want to play on. And then you break out the net that's expandable and it stands upright. And they have three different peppers. It's all a play on peppers. Pick a pepper. One's like a heavier pepper. They all bounce a little different. So you pick a pepper and then you play to 11. And I have to say, it's really fun, but they're like putting out rankings and stuff. And as of right now, Ed is technically number one, but for the record, the truth, this podcast will give you the truth. I have beaten him 6 out of 3 times. He's won 3 times. Yeah, I beat him 6 times and he's getting ranked number one over me. Is that, I don't get it. I'm so upset about
that's,
it. But anyway.
The system is rigged.
It's so
I'll
rigged.
Just say that.
It is so rigged.
I mean, because that was going to be my question is how much better are you than
oh my gosh, 100%. I'm so much better than, I mean, I'm telling you, it's bad. But as of now, he's got the rank because he's been ranked. He's had the official ranking and I haven't. So that's why. He's like, well,
you're coming for him though. You're coming
right.
For
I'm
him.
Nipping at his heels right now.
We're going to link that. We're going to link that in the show.
I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you a pepper pong.
We're getting close to Christmas.
Right. And you know what we do? We get so nervous when we're watching the away. We don't go to the away game. So we'll watch the away games home. So in between, like when they go to commercials, we'll like have a game really quick. We'll have a play. That's our nerve. It's like the perfect thing to do. It's so fun. So that's that. You wonder what we're doing with the commercial breaks. We're playing pepper pong.
You should live stream this.
Oh my God. Great. Here, watch.
I'm just spitballing here.
I think you could find fun. Watch us get in fights. Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, that sounds like you guys have a lot going on.
I guess we do.
I'm writing it down. Okay.
Now,
I guess I'm
more important what everybody wants.
No, way less. Yeah.
What has been going on in your life? Who cares about you? What's been going on in Cora's life? That's all I care about.
Well, let me tell you what's going on in Cora's life. Okay. So I've got 2 kids. I live in San Francisco. My husband and I have a 6-year-old son and a 4-year-old daughter.
Hot husband for the record.
Who was dressed as Ken last night
so
for
good.
Halloween. We're recording this.
I thought
the
he
day
was
after
Zoolander
Halloween.
Like an idiot. He was Ken.
He was, oh yeah. But it was similar vibes.
Yeah, whatever.
Like that. But I'm a sports broadcaster for the Pac-12 Network, at least for a few more months. I may be a full-time podcaster soon. We'll talk about that in a second. But really
give
quick,
people
before
what
we
they
go
want.
Any further,
give the people what they want. Let's do the podcast.
Full-time.
You don't
podcast,
want someone in your ear going cut. Go to commercial now. No, we want to hear the full story because there's a lot to tell.
It's a lot to tell. There's a lot going on. I really do though. I want to like pause because I did mention we were doing this the day after Halloween. We're recording this. So how is Cora doing? Is your question? Yeah. How is my daughter doing? Well, she woke up this morning, you know, after like eating her weight in candy last night and staying up until 10 o'clock. And she was just full on face paint, which was not part of her original costume. She was a knight, but she woke up with like black paint all over her face that
Wait, so you
last night at the end of the night, our friend had us over for a party, and all of a sudden this mom comes up to me. She's like, "I'm so sorry. My daughter just painted Cora's face black and red and white. Like, I hope that's okay." And I was like, "Oh yeah, of course. Is it face paint?" She's like, "I don't know. I'm not sure.
It might be house paint, but it's fine."
Turns out, not face paint. Oh, didn't quite come off.
Oh no. Like we thought. So you did bathe her before bed though.
I did not bathe her before bed. Oh. Nope, I did not. She's at school. Like,
here.
Who knows what the teachers think? But I think that is to say thank you to the teachers, all of you out there who have to watch and take care of and teach kids the day after Halloween, because kids are not at their best on November 1st. No. Let's
and neither are probably parents.
Moment of gratitude and a prayer for all the teachers out there. We love you.
Yeah, especially the ones that have to work the day after Halloween. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a school, I think it was a school here in Denver that had school off the day after Halloween. And I thought that was genius.
Brilliant. Yeah. Or at least do a late start or something.
Yes. Yeah. Let everybody get their ducks back in order and whatever, celebrate. Yeah,
exactly. And, but it was.
Are you one of those people that should say Halloween's on a weekend, like every, like a Friday, you know, how like every Thursday?
Oh yeah. No, I think as long as you could just take the next either day or morning off, I think I'm good. I like it being on the 31st. I think that's good.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah. I mean, are you suggesting like we should do like a Halloween observed?
No, I don't do like the observed crap. Let's not do that. Let's not get tech. Let's not go to that's. I can't do math. Okay. Let's do math.
We'll leave Halloween where it is. We'll leave Halloween.
Last Friday in October, something like that.
We've got other ballots like Thanksgiving, rotation.
Exactly. Right. That's what I was suggesting possibly doing for all the teachers' sakes out there and the parents' and kids' sakes. I thought that'd be easier.
We'll put that up. I'm here. I'm going to write that down. I'm going to put that up.
Colleges do Halloween weekend. I know that because I have a kid in college. Oh. They do Halloween weekend. And since it fell on a Tuesday, it was the weekend before is when they did all their costumes. And
what did Luke go as?
What did he do? He was going to do a lumberjack because he's got a lot of flannel, but I think he switched and did. I don't even remember. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that awful? Mm. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're really tuned into your kids.
Yeah, I really care a lot. I don't know. Who cares? I don't get to dress him up, so I don't care. Out of sight, out of mind. That's who? True. Luke who? Yeah. What? That kid raised himself. He's fine. He knows how to put together Halloween costume.
He did raise himself. I remember the first time we met and you were saying, I think it was right after Dylan left for college. So he was the only one that was going to be home. And you were like, man, we haven't parented that kid and we are going to parent the shit out of that kid.
And I thought we would. No, we weren't home. He was alone like almost every weekend. It was insane. It was such bad parenting. It's horrible.
Or maybe really great parenting.
Looking back, I think he is the most well-adjusted of the four. I hate to say it, but sorry. I think he is.
Yeah. I mean, it was like my friend used to say who has four kids, like the first is kind of a throwaway. No offense to
Max.
All.
Why do you,
you know, Max and the first, because you overparent. Totally. So
and we did. Oh my gosh. I apologize all the time. I'm like, I am so sorry we overparented you. So
I think he's doing just fine too, though. I mean,
yeah, you know, suits him for the job he's in. He's so conscientious and such a pleaser and he's in the right job and he loves it. They're in Germany right now. They're playing in Germany on Sunday. So
awesome.
Yeah, he's going to try to find a pint somewhere one night when they have a minute off.
You knew even back then, like each kid gets what they need from their parents.
Yeah. It worked.
So you just had a feeling that this was his path. Yeah. And
so we had to overparent him. That's exactly.
You just did what you had to do. Because a lot has happened since we were last together. Yeah. So this is kind of our catch up and reset episode. We should say congrats to Max because he's engaged a fabulous woman.
An amazing woman. Yes. I love Kathleen.
Shout out Kath.
Yep. They are.
Love her. So you've got two sons. You're about to get two daughters.
Yes. Yes.
Within the next calendar year? Can we call it that?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Definitely. Christian and Olivia will get married this offseason for sure. And Max and Kat, they're both, and she works for Formula One down in Miami, which is so fun. So they're working so hard. They barely see each other. So I don't know if they'll be able to get a wedding on the books this offseason. We go yearly calendars, our football calendar. So when that's pretty pathetic, but as soon as football's done this year, I think they'll go into planning mode and I have a feeling it'll be pushed back into the year after that, I think.
I got it. Okay. All right. Because I think that would probably be better too, though, to have one wedding this off season and the next.
It would be easier on us, but we were willing to do it, ready to go if they wanted to do it, whatever they want. Hey, I'm the mother of the grooms. sit down,
just wear beige.
Wear beige. That's my job. So
you're so good. I mean, I feel like that's so you. That's come so naturally.
Right. I just, I'm such a wallflower.
Like a wallflower.
Just sit there. Like I have no say whatsoever. Yeah. I'm like, wait, what?
Like no one has any idea what you're thinking ever. But I'm excited. I really am. It's an exciting time. And I know, again, we haven't really been able to talk too much about it. We had the one episode, but it's amazing. And I think as your kids get older, I imagine in all of these different chapters of life, like this one is a pretty cool one to be able to see your kids find their people.
Yes, it is. It's very amazing. Welcoming into our family. And then we get to know their family. It's like you have all these, like this big family that just kind of melds, and it's so fun. And I love them so far. Everything is awesome. So let's go. Okay. Enough about them and their engagements. What about what's Collins doing?
He's not getting married yet.
He's not. Oh, darn it. No, Cora had the hot boyfriend.
Cora's interested. She's got some love interests. That girl, she's
multiple love interests. I love it.
Yeah, there are a few that she has her eye on. So God bless, Godspeed to all of those young boys out there.
And we will go over the wish you luck remedy at the end of the show. Okay, Collins.
Oh, God. Well, I'm going to have to put them to work because I guess we should get into this now. Since we were last together, we manifested, I should say you manifested last year that I would lose my job so that I could focus solely on the podcast. And you had to take down like 100-year-old conference to make it happen, but it worked.
But be careful what you wish for too. But no, it did. I'm so happy. Yay.
You nailed it.
12 folded so Ashley could not have a job and just full-time podcast. Yay. Sorry about everybody else that lost their job and how all the people had screwed over, but yay, I got what I wanted.
You got what you wanted. You manifested it.
Never in a million years would I have predicted that. In a million.
You know, and we haven't talked about it on this platform. So I would love to spend just a little bit of time on it. But I really think what you said, Lisa, like no one could have ever predicted this. I think there were, for anyone that has paid attention to the college landscape or to sports rights and media and all of that. I mean, anything. If you have followed any of it at all, you will know that the Pac-12 is folding at the end of this academic year. So June 30th, officially the Pac-12 will be no more. And you played in the Pac-12. I guess it was the Pac-10 when you were at Stanford. But this is a conference that, again, I just never in a million years, even after USC and UCLA announced and kind of shocked everybody a year ago that they were going to the Big Ten, never in a million years, Lisa, did I think that it would get to this. They're just
same.
And it was so close to having a deal done with Apple. We all went to bed the night of August 3rd, I guess it was, after all of these reports and crazy things and what was going to happen. And the 9 remaining schools, so Colorado had left to go to the Big 12, so there were 9 remaining schools. We all went to bed that night thinking that there was going to be an announcement on August 4th that said that the 9 were sticking together and that they were signing a deal with Apple and that it was a pretty great deal. Not obviously the Big 10 money, but a really good deal with a lot of upside. And that morning, all of a sudden, we get our all staff meeting pushed back and then it's pushed back again. And then, you know, you start getting all of these messages. And the next thing you know, pretty much everybody is out. So Oregon State and Washington State remain, and there's a lot that's up in the air. But I think, I mean, on the serious note, like it has been just this emotional roller coaster. And I know in the grand scheme of what's going on in the world, like a college conference folding is not, doesn't even rank with a lot of the stuff that people are dealing with right now. So I will acknowledge that, but I really,
it affects you. And
I wasn't,
acknowledge that. And
yeah, I just wasn't prepared for how emotional it
is. Yeah. And people you've been working with for 11 years now, and they're like family to you. You probably some weekend,
totally
spend time with them instead of your family all weekend, you know?
100%. And I've had some people, and I will say, like, so we've been doing our football show and I've been really grateful that we've got to have this last year, because there was a world in which most people in this industry, when the lights go off in broadcasting, like you're out, you're done. There's no more, you don't get, your key card just stops working. So the fact that we kind of have this, I've been calling it like our senior year, and a chance to be able to go to the campuses one more time. You know, we travel every weekend for a football show, and we get to, you know, we'll still do our basketball tournaments in Las Vegas in March. But I'm so grateful for that, because a lot of people don't, you know, you don't get to know that it's kind of your last run. But the thing that I wasn't prepared for was how emotional every single Friday I show up on a campus, to include, you know, I was at Cal last weekend, and I feel like I want to cry every time. Like, I just, you know, because I don't know what's next. And I know that everybody will land on their feet and that the schools will work it out. And I'm confident that Oregon State and Washington State, I just hope and pray that they're going to be in situations that are tenable, and that the league can stay alive in some form. Because, by the way, everybody's going to come back. I just think that this thing is cyclical.
Yeah.
And people are going to be tired of playing softball games in Piscataway, New Jersey.
Right.
But I have been,
any sense,
to your point, Lisa, like, it's, these people have been my family for 11 years, and it's just weird to now be looking around. And somebody said to me the other day, they were like, I don't know if I'm ever going to see you again on one of the campuses. And I was like, that's kind of a weird thing to say, but you know what? You're probably right.
Yeah.
You're probably right. And that's really sad. So it's been emotional. But I also think the best part about it is that it's made me appreciate it more. You know, when you,
yeah. It's good you have this time to almost like a farewell tour type thing that you get to go see.
Totally. That's exactly what it is. And the campuses have been awesome.
Good. I'm sure. Of course. I bet they, yeah, they're probably.
There was only one fan base that was not all that kind to one of our production crews. But other than that, everyone's been unbelievable.
Which one? Spill the beans. If it was my alma mater, I'll call somebody.
No. Stanford has been phenomenal. We're actually going down there for the big game.
Oh, cool.
So we haven't been there yet.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It's, I will just say every fan base has both, yes, those fans, right? Sure. Like, every fan base has the great ones that are supportive and the ones that you're just like, wow.
Nasty. Yeah.
Okay. Really? Yeah. You've got, who hurt you?
Right. Right. What,
who hurt you?
And why are you?
You want to talk? Yeah. And hug.
Right. No, there's, there's some of those in the NFL. Yeah. Just turn on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. No kidding. So it's been a lot. And I think the one thing is, though, is that it's been a good reset for me to try to figure out. And I've been telling a lot of my colleagues this too. Like, we have a runway where we know, you know, I'm officially done again this summer. And so you've got a little bit of a runway to be really purposeful and thoughtful about what you want to do next, and not just immediately take the next thing or jump ship. So I do. I am grateful for a lot of it. And I mean, I'm grateful for all of it. And as sad as I am, I think that the feeling that I have more than anything is just gratitude, because it's been like this place, this conference and this network totally changed my life. Like,
yeah.
When I moved to San Francisco 11 years ago, I was living in my brother's basement.
Yeah.
I was single. I was very in a lot of debt. My life was on the career side, was like, things were looking up, but everything else was a freaking mess.
Wow.
And now, you know, it's allowed me to totally transform my life. Obviously, I got married, had two kids. I live next door to my brother now. I may go back to living in his basement in a few months. We'll see.
That's okay.
Full circle. It's fine. It was a great basement. I've still got some stuff down there. So that
we have plenty of room here too. All the kids moved out.
We're here. That's true.
A lot of room. You can have your own bathroom.
Can I have Dylan's room?
100%. You can have Dylan's room. Yes. Yeah. All yours. Yep. It's the, yep.
Perfect.
Oh, well.
But I got to ask you, Lisa, I'm sure for everybody that's even played in that conference, and I think it shows you what college, like the bigger issues in college athletics. And that's, there are plenty of podcasts that talk about that. We don't need to get into those issues. But like, I just think for parents and for kids who have come through and played for these schools, and for all the ones who committed to these schools thinking that they were going to be playing in certain regions and certain schools, I don't know. What was your reaction? What was Christian's reaction when you guys heard about it?
Yeah, it was kind of shocking that it's disbanding. I mean, and then Stanford in particular, I can speak for Stanford, they joined the ACC, which makes absolutely no sense. Like, they're, you know, girls soccer, I'll take that because that's what I'm familiar with. You know, if we have two games a week and they're, you know, they're ones in like Carolina and ones in Florida, like it's doesn't even compute. It doesn't make sense for all the other sports. And that's what's so tragic about it. And I know football is the biggest moneymaker and helps supports all the other schools, which is great, but this is not in the best interest of the kids, of the student athletes that they claim to be, you know, caring about. It's all money. And that's what's disappointing, is nobody's like really in it for the kids. But I don't know, it's almost become college football is more like professional football at this stage of the game, is what it is.
Yeah, so. 100%. And I know, again, I think so. It's, I don't know how you fix it, but I do, I will say I've heard some people who are much smarter than me suggest, and it makes sense to me, make college football its own thing.
Yes.
And have it governed by someone
that knows what they're doing, governed by somebody on its own that knows what they're doing. Yeah. And
governed by Lisa McCaffrey, yeah. Somebody who knows what they're doing and absolutely. Can make all the rules.
Absolutely.
And then have the other schools compete as they should.
Right.
Or the other teams. So it's wild to see how fast it's all changed. And I think back to, you know, when I think about Ed, I look at some of these, I've got some good friends who are in coaching and it's the college level. I have a friend who just went to the NFL last year and his wife was like, we have so much time. Like, yeah. Home all the time.
Oh, Max went from college to pros too. And he's like, he's like, wow. He goes, our off seasons are, you know, pretty big. We don't have to recruit.
Yeah.
Ed said, he goes, I would never coach college again in my life. It's a mess. It's a mess.
No. And I think a lot of really good people are going to make that same decision because it is, what you're doing now as a college coach, head coach, especially, is not what you signed up to do.
It's not why you're a manager. You're like, it's not exactly.
You're trying to raise, you're fundraising, you're getting NIL collectives done. Like it's just,
you're recruiting. It's over the top what they're doing. Yeah. It's more It's more gathering NIL, recruiting players and getting the players to come based on how much they're going to get. Cause now that's what's the bottom line pretty much for a lot of the colleges. A kid will go based on where he's going to get the most money.
Yeah, no, that's true. You either for the people who are able to raise a lot of money and have big donors who are willing to spend a lot of money. And I'm curious to see, like, will the market correct itself eventually? Because some of these donors, I mean, I know somebody who spent a lot of money on one kid who has not played half of a game.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, because that's the other thing, too. There's no guarantee that they're going to either start or play or stay healthy or any
or
of that.
Or stay at the school. I know a couple of whether they paid him a lot of money and the kid ended up transferring after a year and then made money somewhere else. So,
yep. It's wild. And I'm for NIL. Like, yeah.
But I think there needs to be able to make money, rules and regulations with it and across the board. And they just need a strong governance somewhere.
A strong Lisa McCaffrey governance.
100%. I will run it and I'll run it smoothly. We'll have good, clear, defined rules where, yes, players can benefit. Absolutely. I'm all for it. But at the same time, come on. It's the Wild West right now.
You'd be a great commissioner. Like I could just see you in all these different like power suits.
T-shirt, my workout t-shirt. Picture me in like a sharp blazer.
I'm
pull my hair back, right? Don't you think pull it back in a little bun so I look really smart, get like
gorgeous, like navy. Thinking like perfectly tailored.
But I don't want it to just navy. I want it to like a little flare to look like,
maybe 40, with like some gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you would open it up and it would just be like tigers on the inside.
Well, no, because I don't want them to think I'm partial to like LSU with a tiger.
Oh, right. Okay. So
hearts.
What would you? Oh yeah. Hearts would be good. Or unicorns maybe. Are there any unicorns?
That would go
just whatever is the power.
You know what? The most powerful. Important thing is my outfit. If I become the commissioner of the new college football.
Oh, we're announcing it now. Lisa's running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We digress.
So there is a lot going on and it feels, scary for sure. If I'm being honest, and I've had this job this entire time, you know, for 11 years,
which is amazing. That shows how good you are. Yeah. That you've had it for 11 years. Cause most people in your profession don't last that long at all. And And the fact they kept you on until June is pretty amazing. I hope you feel validated that you've done it.
I do. Thank you. I do.
Pac-12 is not folding because of you by any means. I think that's why the Pac-12 stayed alive for the last 5 years, solely because of you. It was going to fold 5 years ago. They're like, but Ashley Adams is our
quarterback. Her kids are so young. Let's give her another 5 years.
We got to do it. So, and then that bitch came in and manifested for everything to fold so she can lose her job. Oh,
the timing really is incredible though. I mean, things fall into place. Things fall apart so things can fall together.
Yep.
And that, I do think that is true. It is painful. It is sad. There's there's going to be a lot of teams that feel, buyer's remorse about the decisions that they've made. And again, it wasn't the coaches and the student athletes who made the decisions. It was a lot of different people. And now those people are going to be the ones that have to sort of navigate through this.
And I hope they get, I hope they get called out and acknowledge what they've done. Cause there's some particular players that have kind of messed it up a little bit. So because of ego and money and whatnot. So
hubris was a big part of this Greek tragedy of the Pac-12. Yeah. I'll leave it at that. On many levels. And it wasn't just one thing or one moment or one. I mean, it was the forces were real and they were coming together for a long time. It was like we were all walking around on a volcano that was about to erupt and maybe people didn't quite realize that it was at that bubbling point yet. Right. So, but I am, to just underscore it, like you said, at least I do feel validated and I am very grateful because they could have made a lot of different decisions and they have been very good to me. And I know that the people who put together, you know, trying to figure out, again, there's so much behind the scenes that people don't even think about of what's going on right now. And the people who put together the, okay, this is, these are the employees that we're going to try and take care of. And this is how we're going to do it. And this is what it's going to look like. It was a impossible puzzle to solve, but I think a lot of people, are going to go do different things now. And sometimes you need to get pushed off the ledge. And so right. Here I am off the cliff and we will see what's next, but I'm excited for, you know, kind of a new chapter and an opportunity. Cause I've never been a mom. Like what I was going to say is I've never been a mom. Or I've never had a family when I've made a job change. Like when I was changing jobs and, you know, working my way up through local news when I first got out of college, like it was just, okay, where are you willing to live?
Right, and then exactly. Just go because now you have this anchor there that limits you a little, can limit you a little bit if you're not willing to move or whatever. So this is, I can't wait to see where you land and it's going to be awesome and it's going to be better. I promise.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. And one of the things that I do want to touch on before we, because there's again a thousand different things that we could still talk about, but we have a whole season to get in and dive into some stuff. But one of the things I will say that we learned from last year, and I really mean this, and we were joking about it right before we started recording, but I was a better daughter and maybe a better mom, but definitely a better daughter when we were doing this podcast last year. And I think the power of being able to create real space and time in your day, in your week, like that cadence of it, of where you're just reflecting on motherhood and talking to moms and thinking about how, like what's important and how did these things line up in our lives and asking moms how they did it. I really feel like I was a way better version of myself as a daughter. And then as soon as we stopped, you know, we stopped down for the summer, I was like, oh man.
You became a bitch again to your mom.
Yeah, I was like such a bitchy daughter all of a sudden again. But did you find that?
Yes, I think it's hard because I don't have, you know, the kids are like not living in the day-to-day house, but it did. It made me more present when I was with them, and like thoughtful, like, okay, what are their needs? What would they want out of their mom at this stage? And reverse, I thought about my mom a lot and I became a better daughter to her. Like you did. I was never bitchy to my mom ever. So.
Big mom.
That's just, shout out, her birthday's Friday. Everybody send her something. Yeah. 86. She's turning 86. But yeah, I did. I was more intentional. I was more thoughtful. I was a better daughter. And I thought of my mom as more of a human being and more of a person rather than a mother figure in a way. And we bonded way. Our bond is way stronger after doing this. That's for sure. So.
Yeah. And that is so important. And I think what I want our listeners to know and to feel is that it's really hard, even no matter, you know, how intentionally you think you are or what you're trying to do. It is like a recommitment every day. And through this podcast, you know, what we got to do last year, every week to really show up and think about this stuff and make space for it. Because guess what? We all know what our to-do lists look like. You know, they just grow and grow and grow and you fill your days with
stuff
that other people need from you, or, you know, you just, it's a lot. And so to carve out this like sort of sacred space it was more powerful than I even realized. And I think we knew going into last year, we didn't know anything when we started last year. Obviously that was pretty clear. But
yourself, I'm kidding. Yeah, we didn't.
That's true. You were a pro, right?
Yeah, are you kidding?
But I knew we were going to learn a lot. And that was definitely one of my biggest takeaways, was just like, wow, it is important to have the time and the space to like think about some of this stuff. And then the other thing that was so powerful to me was what we heard from all of the moms afterwards, who, by the way, before we would bring them on, would say, I don't know how we're going to talk for half an hour. I don't have anything to do for like 30 or 45 minutes. And then we'd have to be cutting it off at like, you know,
over
90 minutes.
Right. No, it was insane. And that was amazing. That was so fun. And we're still friends with those moms today.
Totally.
That's so wonderful. I mean, amazing. Moms. Can you recall like one story that like you think about or stuck with you, like poignant, funny.
There are so many, there are so many moments where just, I will hear someone's voice pop up in my head. Like I hear Marilyn Plummer telling me to like, go stop doing the dishes and go play with your kids. Like there have been multiple times that I have stopped doing whatever I felt like I needed to do and clean up the house and fold the laundry and just like, okay, go play trains or go color for like 10 minutes even. And it matters. I also think about Marsha Leaf, what she said about everything she went through with her son, Ryan. And if you haven't listened to that episode, by the way, that was, I think, our very first, maybe our first interview after Chris Darnold. And she, one of the things she said that, again, just stuck with me was she said, it's not what you go through, it's how you go through it together. Right. And that, when she's standing shoulder to shoulder with her son through it all, and that nobody's perfect and parents make mistakes all the time and so do kids, but like how you get through it and how you show up is what matters. And I think those are, I don't know, those
that
are
one, that things. One was what I was going to say is Marsha Leaf visiting her son every week in prison and how hard that was. And it'd take her 2 days to decompress and come out of it almost.
The hangover. Yep,
the hangover, the prison hangover. No, that was really, really powerful and really emotional. So like when I get mad at my kid and I'm like pissed at him, I'm like, I still need to be there for him, you know?
Totally. No, that's exactly right. And that's a hard line to kind of, I completely agree. And the way that she talked about dealing with a lot of that was good. And now Ryan, shout out Ryan.
Yeah, he's killing
he's doing unbelievably well. He's got an amazing broadcast career and he's doing so many unbelievable motivational speakings around, you know, all these different programs around the country. And he and his wife are about to have a little girl.
I know
they've got one son who's just adorable and huge. Oh my God. He's probably going to be a football player. He's just massive, but MacGyver is his
name.
That's
it. I knew it had a fun. Yeah. MacGyver's
and now he's going to have a daughter and he's shared publicly. So I don't feel like I'm saying anything that's not out there, but they, I think it was a struggle for them to have another child and it's like the answered prayer.
Yeah.
And so I'm so happy. I've not reached out to Marsha, but I need to once I heard that news recently. I'm happy for them. Yes. So the road is long, right? Like it's whatever you're going through right now, parents, if you're listening to this, like whatever thing feels hard, yes, it is hard and
it'll pass.
It will get better. This too shall pass.
Yeah.
And there will be something.
One thing I never realized going through it is each stage is not as long as you think. Like each stage of life, they get a little longer as they get older, but oh my gosh, I just remember it being so physical when they were all little, like just, I was exhausted at the end of the day. I couldn't get in my bed fast enough. And I would just remember, and then that slowly got a little easier as each one, each one would potty train and then they'd get older and then some would go to school and it just slowly got easier and easier. So I wish I knew that. Cause I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is just so hard. This is never going to end. I'm just physically drained. But it does. It always,
you think it's your whole life forever.
Right.
You know, exactly. When you're in
it changes your priorities change and your worries change. And, even those, they don't last forever either. It always is changing. It's still to this day, it's always changing but hopefully for the better. So some for the better, some for the more worries, but that's life.
Bigger kids, bigger problems is what somebody told me the other day. They were like, enjoy these problems right now when they're little. Cause you can solve most of them.
The fact that Cora's hungover from some candy. That's going to be all right. She's going to be all right tomorrow. Yeah. She'll be fine.
I know, but I haven't found cigarettes in her Halloween bag.
Exactly. Yet, so there's no heroin or something.
But I would say the very last thing is that the one of the other things that really struck for me from last year that I was probably one of my biggest takeaways and has really helped me as I'm thinking about what I want to do next. But it was a sentiment that we heard from almost every mom that we had on, which was like, thank you for letting me take that trip down memory lane, for thinking about all of these life experiences that I haven't thought about in so long. And for just asking. I mean, I remember Chris Darnold saying like, thank you for asking because nobody ever
right.
asked.
Right. Yes. Yes.
And that is so powerful. And I think, everybody deserves.
And it's fascinating to learn her story and her husband's story and how they have this superstar, what made him the superstar? How did she get to this point? I'm doing a little social experiment over here. Is it nature or nurture? More nature or more nurture? And that's my goal for this podcast, try to figure out. I have no idea what it is still. It's, just listening to all these moms, I thought I'd be able to figure it out by now, but no, because every one of these moms, the common denominator is that they love their children unconditionally, but they all parent very different. Every one of them that we had on parents very different because there's no.
Doesn't it make you feel better though? As someone who was like, what's the key? Yeah. I'm going to read these books and I'm going to start a podcast so I can find out. And then you realize when you talk to all of them, you're like, oh man, you know what? There is no blueprint because you show up, you do the best you can, you love the hell out of your kids. Mm-hmm. and you take care of yourself.
And which a lot of moms don't. Yeah, which is very, because then you show up as a better mom. You're way better.
Totally.
You're more
perfect. Yeah. I was listening to Andrew Luck gave a keynote speech at this event I was at for work the other day. And he was talking about, it was the way he put it. I was like, I know I've heard this message before, but the way he put it resonated differently. So I'll share it right now. But he said, when I was with the Colts, he said, when I finally realized that if I'm asking them to be like, to show up and be these versions of these teammates, like I need to be that for them.
Right.
And so the best thing that I can do for my teammates is show up as the best version of myself. So that means that like when I'm getting my sleep and I'm eating right and I'm doing this stuff, I'm doing it for my teammates. I'm not doing it for me. Like we feel like it's selfish to, you know, self-care.
Yeah.
But it is truly, you want to show up as the best version of yourself for the people around you. Right. So for all of the like super selfless moms that kill themselves and feel guilty because they're not like,
you're not doing
you actually are doing this, that self-care, that massage, that workout class, that walk, that yoga, nap, whatever, manicure, that mat nap, like you're doing that so that you can be the best version of yourself for your family.
Right.
And I think that's just a twist that we all need to be able to make in our minds. Cause it wasn't until like freaking Andrew Luck said it that I was like, oh yeah, you know what? That makes sense. This isn't just about me. Even though on the surface it is, but like, it's about me showing up as a better version of myself.
Ow, wait, my back's really sore right now. Cause you just dropped, dropped that name on me. So, oh, it kills me. So yeah, not that you're a name dropper. So anyway, so you met Andrew Luck. Cool. Look at you.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He played at a small school on the West Coast. He wasn't, you know.
Oh, that's so funny. Congratulations on knowing him. I'm proud of you.
I don't know him, by the way. I just was.
I wasn't there. Yeah. I was at home probably like, I don't know, making like knitting a sweater.
You were probably getting a massage and doing self-care.
Or knitting a sweater for my kid because I'm so sacrificial. Knitting all my scarves that I'm going to give them for Christmas. But go ahead. Go listen to them.
But carry on. Yeah. Who else have you hung out with recently? No, but I will say just the notion of giving moms the space to like, hey, your stories matter. And it's not just about, we don't want to know, but just about your kids. Like everybody knows about your famous kids. We want to know about you and your life story and what made you, you. And so that, I think I say all that to say this, that's going to be a big theme for season two, as we look to like figure out how we're going to keep this going and what we want to evolve and change and add. And that said, we're going to have, and I mentioned it in the tease, but Chantal Baylo, who is an executive coach, who I think I've talked about this on this podcast before. She's a mom of three. She lives in Oakland. I've done work with her for like the last 6 or 7 years. And she is incredible at helping people understand like the stories that we're telling ourselves all the time without even realizing it and how that impacts what we do. And I think moms need that more than anything. And then we also brought on our phenomenal and Lisa's new favorite person on the planet, Betsy Bloom, because she's got the best name, as our executive producer. So Betsy's going to pop in just here at the end to say hello. Betsy,
hello.
Thank you for doing this.
Betsy's like,
thank you for asking.
We'll tune in just to see Betsy because she's like young and cute.
Sounds good. Yeah, exactly. That's really, we just needed some younger blood on this podcast.
And more important, she's a teacher. Two freshmen in high school. So Saint Betsy.
Well, thank you for campaigning for the day after Halloween to be a national holiday. Let's let's have this rise up the ranks.
I'm gonna make a sign and go start protesting to the school board of the world.
The school board of the world. Yeah.
In your amazing chic you know, power suit that you have for your commissioner job as
exactly.
well. Like people are gonna really you're about to change the world.
100%. Let's go. Let's manifest that. Let's go.
Well, yeah. I mean, one of my takeaways from just listening to you is that women should run everything, specifically moms.
We've been saying that. Yeah.
Amen. I think so too. My brother actually said that the other day and I was like, I agree. We're in a patriarchy, but I agree. Moms should run stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I mean, on a serious note, as you were talking about the Pac-12 and you're thinking about the kids, you're thinking about the student athletes and the coaches and everybody who's connected to the kids. And I feel this so much as a teacher, you know, like the people who are on the ground know what's best for the kids. It's the people who are in the ivory tower making the decisions that are not necessarily connected to those conversations that are the ones that, you know, might make a bad decision because they're not thinking about the consequences. So
well,
that was,
yeah, absolutely.
It was amazing to me how true that is. No matter the situation, if you're thinking about the kids first, then you're probably going to make the right choice. But guess what?
I think they're thinking about the dollar sign. I don't.
Yeah. Money, the money, Benjamins.
Money.
Right.
Money. Show me the money.
On these.
Yeah. No, Betsy, you're spot on. Yeah. Wait, also, right. We should tell Betsy because so that she can be further impressed with Ed McCaffrey. Oh. What poem does Ed know?
The Man in the Arena one.
No, the Man in the Arena, but then doesn't he also know Edgar Allan
Poe? Yeah, he knows the Raven too. I'm so proud. Raven. Yeah. He's a modern day.
Wow.
Or he just memorizes really good poems from like years past. Yeah.
When you told me that last year on our first episode, I was like, that of all the things that you could have said that would have like impressed me the most, I think that was number one.
Does he want to zoom in to my class so I can be like, listen, poetry is cool.
Is really cool. He will make it cool. No, they're going to take one
like,
look.
You think you're too cool for poetry? You think you're cooler than this person?
Yeah. With 3 Super Bowl rings who can recite the Raven from heart. Like
Nevermore.
Yeah. Yeah. Shut up, Harry, and do your homework.
He'll whip them into
Betsy, we're excited to have on board and guiding the ship. So thank you for doing this and agreeing and saying yes. I should say, I know Betsy, and what we'll get into in a few weeks, I'll do a full interview with Betsy so people get the full deep dive. But our husbands are best friends, I should say. And now they're kind of out, yeah, or whatever. And now this is just secondary. All about Betsy and I. So
yeah.
So Mac, her husband was the best man at our wedding.
Oh, cool.
And gave the most unbelievable speech that people still talk about all the time, because it wasn't a speech. It was, like 10 karaoke songs.
No way. I want to hear him. I want to see that video. That'll be our next podcast. We'll just be the video.
We'll just play just that.
It exists because I have been, encouraged to listen to it several times.
I have been encouraged to listen to it. I never have.
Wow, lucky you.
Yeah. The best part is the night before he asked us, like I remember at a rehearsal dinner, he was like, so how much like time do you think I have for the speech? I'm like, I mean, it's about like 5 minutes, like 7 minutes if you want that, but don't like shorter is better. No one wants to listen to my speech. He was like, okay. So he apparently had like twice as many songs
planned.
And so he cut out like 10 of the songs. Wow. So it was a performance. It was a show.
Well, for your 50th, he'll bring out the extended tracks, the B-sides.
I love it. And wait, Betsy, you guys weren't dating back then when they were getting married then?
No, I really wish that we had been for many reasons. I wish I had met him sooner. But I've also heard that Ashley and Chris's wedding was the most fun wedding.
I've seen pictures. It looked amazing.
It was a good time. Yeah. It was a damn good time. There were a lot of wigs, a lot of singing, a lot of songs, a lot of performances. It was great. It was
as it should be.
Yeah. As it should be. Okay, so Betsy, first of all, is there anything that this is what we should do at the end of every episode. I'm going to ask you if we said anything that wasn't true and you have to fact check. No, I'm just kidding.
I've been searching over here.
I hope you're fact checking all of us as we go. Yeah, because then you'll be like, well, pretty much everything you said is bullshit. But yeah, I would say we've talked about how we're going to end this. And I want to let you set it up because you were the one that had this idea. And I think it's a beautiful idea. And it harkens back to the point we were making earlier, which is we need to create space to like tell people what they mean, to be able to think about what people have meant to us, and then to say it out into the world. And we now have a platform because we made up this little podcast to do that. So Tell everyone your idea.
Yeah. So my idea is to end every episode with a moment of gratitude. And I was thinking about what you guys were saying about self-care, because I think gratitude is self-care and it's great for others as well as ourselves. So practicing gratitude makes us feel better and it also makes people around us feel better. So I think that it's a great practice for us to implement, and hopefully everyone listening at home will do it as well and call your mom. Tell her you love her.
Amen. That's right. Call your mom. Call a mom. Call any mom. Okay. So how are we going to do this? We're just going to each shout out one person who we're grateful for in our lives. Is that we'll start there and see. We need to come up with like a witty name.
I know.
Lisa will come up with
one. Yeah, I was just going to say. Lisa, you're our resident wit.
I can see her. I can feel the wheel. The smoke's coming out.
Pressure's on. We'll think of something good. Yeah.
But yeah, so all right, do you want Betsy, you want to go first? You have somebody in mind?
Yeah, so I actually I'm breaking my own rule, but I have like sort of like
thank you. You're welcome. Oh, never mind. I thought you were gonna pick me. My bad.
Yeah, you know, coming into this day, I didn't even know Lisa, and now
but
I am grateful for
you.
Lisa. You switched. No, so my husband and I recently moved, and we spent the summer painting and doing all sorts of house stuff. And so we haven't really had anyone over, and we had a Halloween party this weekend that was also a housewarming party. And it was, I just felt so grateful to our friends who showed up. Like, it's great having a party in your 30s because everyone brings nice wine and cheese.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had that like butterfly feeling of what if no one comes to my party? And then people came and they were in full costume and they were so enthusiastic. And it just made us feel really loved and warmed by their presence. So I'm grateful to the chosen family that we've made here.
I love that. Yeah. And I will say, as someone who was at Betsy and Mac's wedding, that was how I fell in love with Betsy, because I'm listening to I've never heard anyone talk about a bride in the way that every single one of your friends, both at the rehearsal dinner and at the wedding. I was like, wow, it was that feeling. And we were kind of laughing about it, but I mean this in like the best way. I'm like, I think every person who's given a speech like actually wishes they were marrying Betsy.
I was going to say, I felt like it was like I was also getting roasted. I was like, I thought it was supposed to be the groom that got roasted.
No, like roasted from love, like true. A love roast. True.
That's awesome.
No, it was. You have a lot of great friends, yeah. And you could tell like your relationships matter. So that's great. I love that. I do know that feeling of having a party and being like, what if nobody shows up? Lisa doesn't know that.
I have no idea. Like everybody shows up at ours. We have so many parties.
Okay, Lisa, you're up next. Who are you thankful for?
I think I'm thankful today for Ashley's mom's womb. Because it just had her and it made her like the person she is. That's where it all started. And look where we are. And I'm just so grateful and thankful for Ashley. And I'm so excited to resume this. And she's amazing. And I bet, yeah, I love you too. But I just met you. So I couldn't pick you. But stay tuned.
There will be plenty of time for us to shower on each other.
You know what? On behalf of my mother's womb. Thank you.
Sure.
It was a great womb. I remember? Felt very cared for. Yeah, I do. I remember.
Isn't that everyone's dream is just to crawl back in the womb?
Just to crawl back into that womb. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah, food just like pops in your body. You're like, I'm hungry.
Just there. Yeah. You go to the bathroom whenever you want. Right. Like it doesn't.
It's like the greatest place on earth. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Good point. Okay. Well, I you kind of stole mine. I was going to do a twofold. One, because it is your mom's birthday on Friday.
Yeah.
Shout out to Big Mama for producing the incredible specimen and human that is Lisa McCaffrey. And also your mom is just awesome. Like I'll text her every now and then. I haven't checked in with her in a little while, but like, she just gives me like so much. I don't know. Whenever I text her, I'm like, we're doing a thing. Like Betsy's on board. She's so happy. And she's so like grateful for the fact that we have a podcast.
Betty.
And did I just call her Betsy? It's Betty.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh,
yeah.
I was like, we have a
friend. I'm looking at Betsy and my brain can't remind me of two mom. Things at the same time. Yeah. Betsy, you remind me of Betty Connor.
Yeah, I'm honored.
I feel like, you should cook for me and I don't know, get me some dessert and cookies and milk and tell me a story.
Yeah, but truly, I love your mom. She is amazing. And Lisa, you kind of stole my thunder, because I want to say thank you to you, because I have been all over the map the last several months with all the Pac-12 stuff going on and a lot of other things. And you just kind of hung with me through all of it. And when I asked you to, hey, I don't really know what this is going to look like, and I want to evolve it to do some more storytelling in case we end up starting this company on, like all of these things behind the scenes that aren't even important enough to get into, but just, I want to say it out loud. Like you just said yes, and I'm there and I'm excited. And so like, that is a gift. And to be sitting here, you know, doing this with you again, it feels great. It was way too many months off. And my mom is thankful to you, because now I'm going to be a better daughter. And I'm
totally so bitchy. She's the one who was calling me. I wasn't even going to do it, but she's for our relationship, for the love of God.
She's a nightmare.
She's so much better. She needs to get back to your podcast.
but I really am. I'm grateful to you. And I feel so good to be, I don't know, just back doing this, and the moms that we're going to talk to, I can't wait, and to see what unfolds. You think about what's happened in a year. Like a year ago, we had just manifested that Christian was going to the Niners.
I know, it's insane.
Crazy. Yeah. How much happens.
I can't wait to go back, do this for a year, and then reflect on right now too. Again, it's kind of fun.
Oh God. Yeah. What do you think it's going to, should we just make one prediction? Like, what do you think in a year, what do you think is going to be happening?
careful, Lisa. You have a lot of power.
I guess I do. Well, I don't. I want to manifest this podcast to make it so Ashley can just do this and not do any other job, and she can like focus and be feel fulfilled and not drained.
Thank you. Without having to live in a basement,
and without, or maybe mine. Yeah. No, I want you to live in mine.
Yeah. Okay. You want? Okay. I hope that I'm living in your basement.
That would be awesome. We'll bring Cora and Collins. I'll cook for them. It'll be awesome.
I also am going to manifest that we're doing some like spa retreat somewhere.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You know, like a podcast. Is that a thing? It should be. If there's not a market for like podcaster spa retreats, mm-hmm. then pod there's spa. There's the $1 million idea.
Pod
everybody.
Spa. Pod spa.
Well, I do think that Mazda should be our sponsor. So if you could get us a hookup and then Mazda can sponsor, we can have, you know, the Mazda spa weekend.
Oh, McDonald's. See, this is why we brought Betsy on, because we can connect just all of these.
Oh, my mind just exploded. That's amazing. Let's do it. It's amazing.
God, I can't wait to go look at Mazdas. I'm coming to see you in a couple of weeks, Lisa.
Yes, and I'll take you to the lot. I'll take you to the lot. We'll have Dylan show you around. It'll be amazing.
Have Dylan just and whatever I, you know, like I want the full. I've got all the roll down windows now. Like I want automatic.
Oh,
I want
wow.
The full,
okay, I'll tell him that ahead of time, so he'll pull the cars that have the automatic up and down. Okay. Yeah. And I assume you want the seatbelt to work.
I want power windows.
Power windows. Seatbelts, airbags.
Seatbelt, whatever. Whatever he thinks.
That's optional.
I mean, I'm not fully, fully loaded.
FM radio, AM and FM.
I'm a full-time podcaster.
AM and FM? Yeah. Okay.
I love you guys. It's oh, my cup is full. It's so good to be back.
Yes, we're back. And better.
This is the time when I do wish, like, because it gets to the end of the podcast and it's like, I can never put the bow on it and wrap it up and say goodbye. This is when we actually do need someone being like, wrap it. Yeah. Wrap it up.
Let's go.
Get out. So, go, Betsy, you can tell.
We're cutting to commercial. So,
all moms, deep breath. Exhale. You're doing an amazing job. Go be present for your kids and keep up the good work.
Mic drop. We'll see you next week.